Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, it's my privilege to read the word and preach the message. And Father, I ask that you'll glorify Jesus Christ, our Lord, in this service tonight. For we pray in that name that is a glorious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 1, Philippians 3, finally, my brethren, I'll just stop for a moment. It seems like Paul maybe had the same approach to things. Well, I'm going to let you go early tonight. Rarely would ever do it. he said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained either, were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as be many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. And so we conclude our study or our reading of this message and begin our study. And I want to turn this phone off because I said something about Bob's this morning and I don't want to have any room whatever to accuse me. Yeah, but anyway, now let me continue since I've got that off. Certainly, we want to be found clothed with his righteousness, as the Bible teaches. We need to forget some things and put some things out of our mind. Put them aside that they do not hinder in the things of the Lord. I will mention a few things as we go through tonight that we certainly need to put aside or forget. As we look into this text, we draw from it, and the first thing I want to deal with is this particular thought. Overall, Paul must forget what he once thought important. Just as every one of us, no doubt, have somewhere in our lives thought that there were certain things that were very important. And the truth of the matter is that they're really not. The fellow said it in a poetic way. Whatever's done for Christ will last. And basically then he points out that everything else is just wasted time, really, in this world. So I want to point out some things that Paul thought at one time were very important. I believe that he needs to forget what he was in the flesh. If he said others can boast, I can boast more. He could hold his own in pedigree. He could speak of things that he was and is, as we could see it in the text that we've read. He could boast of ancestry. Now, most of us, many of us, cannot trace our ancestry back very far. I don't have any means of tracing my dad's side of the family back. I don't think it really matters. On my mother's side, it can be traced back to the Texas Revolution. My sons could be sons of the Republic, and the girls could be daughters of the Republic, if they wanted to be. But those things are really not important. It's some things that occurred along the way that make a difference. But Paul could boast of ancestry. What he was by, for lack of a better term, inheritance. He could boast of the fact that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was born in the tribe of Benjamin, and that is no small thing. Even though Saul was not the king that he ought to have been, that has no great bearing on all of the tribe. You never know what we might find if we looked into our own heritage, and it might even dishearten and embarrass us if we were to look into those things. But by and large, the tribe of Benjamin, even though they were unique in that they were basically a tribe that was interspersed among the tribe of Judah, and I would suppose, and I can only suppose, that because of their nature, that God just didn't trust them to be a tribe of their own with that identification. And so he would give them a place among Judah, and he did so. But if there was any one thing that could be said of the Benjamite, they were men of courage and character, in that they did not fear, seemingly at most times, to go into battle. They weren't really bad shots. Left-handed, they could sling a stone at a very small target and hit that target. Certain ones could. They would have been known for what they had accomplished and what they had contributed to the cause of the establishment of Israel in the land. And Paul could go back and say, I was born of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and of course touching the righteousness of the law, I was blameless. Now, that certainly would indicate that he was a strict observer of that which he knew that he ought to do. This does not necessarily save the soul, but it gives an indication of a man of strong faith that likely would lead a man to salvation. But Paul must forget some things, lest they hinder him. He needed to forget what he was in the flesh, and that which he could boast of. And that was primarily his ancestry. He could boast of his accomplishments after the flesh. He had risen to great heights. He had done various things, such as the quality of his education and so forth. As, Dr. Laura Lodum used to say, it wasn't very long ago that I couldn't even spell professor, now R one. And he spoke of his the accomplishments in that sense. But that was something that he could say, I've done, that I have accomplished after the flesh. He sought out the best teachers of the day. And then again, touching the righteousness of the law, blameless. You see, a man was responsible to bring the offering God asked for, not the one that so pleased him. Cain tried that, and that did not work. Abel, on the other hand, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. So we see then that touching the righteousness of the law, he was blameless. And then he went on to say he was zealous in persecuting the church. Our Lord had warned his disciples that there would be a time that folks would think that they were doing God service if they took the life of the believers. And they, you would say to me, well, that sounds very strange. Not really, if you listen carefully to the rhetoric. Today, the same thing is being said. We have an obligation to God to kill every Christian, and they call the Christian and categorize them as infidels. Well, we know that that's not true, but nonetheless, they believed that. And Paul believed that he had a divine directive to stamp out the name of Jesus Christ from the earth. And he set about to do it. And we'd have to give him credit where credit's due. He did do that. He was successful in his efforts. Had he been left alone on the road to Damascus and he reached Damascus, he'd have been successful there, except God intervened. I tell you what, one of the most precious testimonies you could ever hear, ever read in your life, of what God did for that man on the road to Damascus. Knowing his background, knowing his particular personage, God did a marvelous thing. It's not any wonder that he himself said, when he saved me, he saved the chiefest of sinners. And you, I realize, would feel the same way as I do. But he could have boasted about such things as that. But he did not take that as a boast, but rather he looked down upon himself for having put forth his hand against Christians. He felt like that did something to him that he wished beyond wishes that had never happened in his life. But it did happen. It was a part of him. In Damascus, they were afraid of him. In Jerusalem, even years later, they were still afraid of him because of the testimony that he bore about persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. So he did have a zeal about him of persecuting the church. But of all that he accomplished in the flesh, he said, "I count them nothing but loss, that I may win Christ." What was gained for him was lost to the cause of Christ. Therefore, I say, and I believe I'm correct in that it is a hindrance then. Sometimes things can be a hindrance in the work of the Lord that we don't necessarily want to hinder our work for the Lord. And it needs to be forgotten, laid aside. It, as far as Israel was concerned, was gain for this man. He was held in high reputation in Israel. But he felt like that before God, that he was not held in high reputation because he did persecute the church of Jesus Christ. This distracted him from pursuit of Christ and his righteousness. That's something that every one of us ought to follow after: Christ's righteousness and Christ himself. Our attention needs to be on him. And so what he counted gain was lost for Christ. Christ accepts no man's person. God does not choose us because of our accomplishments or what we are or what we think that we can do. And I'm very grateful for that, because God has chosen even to allow me the privilege of laboring in his labor. So Christ does not accept a man's person. He does not go through mankind and say, "I believe I'll take that one because he is such an outstanding man." Now, there have been men of great reputation. I've been privileged to hear some of them. You've heard me often speak of Monroe Parker. Heard him preach one message in my life, but I've never forgotten that message. And that was not the message that brought me to Christ, by the way. Dr. Sheehan preached that, and I didn't forget that one either. But nonetheless, God did not go through mankind and say, I believe I need to have Monroe Parker. He's such an outstanding speaker. R.G. Lee, another that I was privileged to hear speak. Impressed by him and his capabilities. But God didn't choose him because of who he was. He chose him because of his divine appointment to preach the gospel. Some of the big names that we think about, we forget about the little fellows that pastors a church of 30 or less. But my, what preachers. I've often spoken of Jimmy Dobbs. He preached my grandfather and my grandmother's funeral. He pastored a church after he worked all week following a mule and a Georgia stock. Yet God used him in a marvelous way because he likely preached more funerals than anybody in Parker County, Texas. And he left a testimony of God's grace as he did so. And I can appreciate him. But God didn't choose him because of who he was. He chose him by his own divine appointment. Again, this would have caused him to not want necessarily to follow Christ, but rather his own ingenuity. He in his life did present Jesus Christ where he went. When he went to Jerusalem, I think he used good judgment. He called the, as he called them, the elders together, or the apostles, and he told them what he was preaching, and they said, here you're preaching the same thing we are. And he got his message on the backside of the desert. But all that this man accomplished, he had to count loss for Christ. What is the simplicity of this man that we know as Paul? He wants to know Christ. He wants to know Christ. To be found in Christ's righteousness. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of the message that what a blessing to be found in Christ's righteousness. Not found in the law. It's found only in Christ. The righteousness that'll save the soul is found in Christ. Now, there are certain points of the law, there are things about the law that are important. In fact, it might surprise you if you studied a little bit to find out that God spoke highly of the law. Said there's not anything wrong with the law. It's holy, it's righteous, it's good. You know what the problem of the law is? We're weak in the flesh. We can't keep it. Not doing what it said to do. But Paul simply wants to know Christ, to be found in his righteousness, not in the law. Again, that which is only found in Christ himself. So we see that he must forget some things in his life if he's really going to be used of God. And you and I need to forget some things. I believe for Christ's sake and our own as well. One of the amazing things about the Christian is that they can be forgiven by God, but never forgive themselves. I wonder how many men there are in this land that say, I wish I had started out as a young man following Christ and not lost all of those years in the pursuit of something else. Then Paul, as he must forget, he also needs to do some reaching. He needs to forget his sense of self-worth. That's something that is not going to be recognized of God anyway. Our self-worth is about worth that much. What we think, and that's not much. But Paul needs to forget some things. First thing, he needs to forget at least part of his religion. Now, there was, again, a distinction in the Israelite, and rightfully so. God intended there be a distinction. Israel as a nation was supposed to make the world aware of God and then of His Christ. And he needed to forget some of the things that he had been taught. It is amazing how that man can twist that which the Bible itself said was holy and righteous and good and make it something else. A lot of the things of the law are in the elements that pertain to daily actions and diet and so forth, were some things that man had twisted. They'd taken that which God had said and made it mean something else. Our Lord warned of such as that in His ministry. He warned of the danger of not forgetting some things and having Christ before him. Now, I want to broaden that subject for a moment because I think it's important. Man needs to forget some of the religion. I have, in conversation, dealt with some folks that were in error. There's a certain group that believe that Jesus Christ was not God in the flesh, that He was only of a high angelic order, and it was an angel that was incarnate. Person needs to forget that. The group that believes that God is progressing, they need to forget that. I'm the Lord thy God, he said, I change not. In this thought of forgetting some things about false religion, we need to embrace the truth. Our missionary Brother Donald Turner down in Honduras has found out that there's a lot of error in that country. And much of it was brought from the United States of America and left there in that country. He's finding out that there are some grave mistakes in some of the things that are called religion in that country. And I'm not just talking about Catholicism. That was there for centuries before Donald ever got there. But there's a lot of modern day difficulties in that land. And would to God that some folks would forget some of the things that they've been taught. We might even need to forget some things that we've been taught as well. He needed to forget his achievements. He needed to forget the things that did not glorify Jesus Christ. If there's one glory, and I appreciated what he had to say in the closing chapter of the book of Galatians. Said, I'll just glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. Not going to glory in the flesh. Not going to glory in anything that I've done. I'm going to glory in the cross. And then as we think about in this closing thought, reaching forth. We need to reach forth to Christ's righteousness if we're not saved. There's only one salvation out here. There's only one salvation on earth. There's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And it is that precious name of Jesus Christ. And at that name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. The second thing, as we think about reaching forth, we need to reach forth to know him. And that involves the power of his resurrection. I don't even pretend to have the understanding of what it means to really believe in the resurrection, how it empowers us. But I believe that there have been men that have hazarded and gave their lives because they knew and believed that there was a resurrection. I want to just mention it in passing. The Apostle Paul kept some things down on the bottom shelf where we could all reach it. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then the writer of Hebrews said, he who is to come will come. You can't say that much plainer than that, to know what it means to reach forth. And I believe that knowing that there's a resurrection makes the difference in our ministries. Who else could say to live is Christ, to die is gain? Who else could say the time of my departure is at hand? Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, not me only, but to everybody else, or everyone that loves his appearing. I believe that Paul needed to reach forth, and we need to reach forth to know the power of his resurrection. And this is a little more difficult, to know the fellowship of his suffering. If we're really going to fellowship with Christ, we're going to have to understand something of suffering, and in particular, in view of that particular day in which he lived. We think today that there might be some persecution. There is some places in the world, but here in the United States of America, thank God it's still a free country. You still have the right to speak, and that's disappearing, I understand. But thank God that today there's not any suffering here. I don't know, it might mean more to us if we did have some of it. But when you think about men and women, and it would involve their families, that they could face the beasts in Rome. Paul himself said, I've faced these wild creatures over in Ephesus. I know what it is to suffer. He said again in Galatians 6, the marks of the suffering of Jesus Christ are in my body. I believe that there were some scars that were there because of his testimony of God's grace. You couldn't take the kind of beating that he did as he was put into the innermost prison in the stocks without it leaving some marks on him. In fact, it spoke of this Philippian jailer once he got a hold of the truth as taking Paul and Silas and doing what he could to alleviate the pain and try to speed the process of healing in their behalf. I believe we need to reach forth to be conformed to his death. He's talked about pressing toward the mark. And I want to mention this. There's a couple of things that I believe are involved. We need to see the goal. Then we need to set the goal before us and endeavor to reach it, realizing that our Lord had a goal in coming into this world. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Let the mature mind the things of Christ. Then finally, imitate. Forget some things, reach forth and attain some things. Paul said, there's just something here that I want to do. I want to reach forth to Jesus Christ. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection.